This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go on a family vacation. And when we got there, I had the opportunity to do one of those things, those excursions, you know, the one where you sign up and they take all your money, and then they say, we'll take you to the ocean and you can go scuba diving for about 25 minutes. And I didn't know this at the time when I signed up, but you actually have to take a certification class to go scuba diving. You have to pass this test, which pretty much means they put you in a pool and they throw all this gear on you, and if you don't drown, you pass. Luckily, I passed. So they put me on a little boat, and they take me out into the middle of the ocean, and they keep going, and they keep going, and you wonder, are we going to some deserted island? Like, what's happening here? And just about the time you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, they put the scuba gear on you, and they kick you off into the middle of the ocean. I jumped in on that first dive, and I sank straight to the bottom. I mean, like an anchor sinking in the water. I just hit the floor. And I'm down on the bottom, like scrounging around in the sand. And, you know, they had given us this like 25-minute lecture. Don't touch the coral. You'll kill it, right? Well, all that went out the window because I'm like laying in the coral, like floundering around. I couldn't get up off the bottom. Everybody else is having a great time. They're pointing out, look, there's Nemo, look, you know. And they're just enjoying it. But I'm just like paddling along on the ocean floor. I'm like, this is miserable. I'm terrible at this. I'm never spending my life savings on this again. So I pushed the little button that they tell you not to press on your jacket that inflates your jacket, and it sent me straight back up to the surface. I got out of the boat, and the instructor looks at me and goes, wow, you're the worst I've ever seen. I thought, thanks. But just about that time, he said a word that you never want to hear on a boat in the middle of the ocean. He goes, oops. Oops. Like, what do you mean, oops? He said, oops. And he reaches into my vest and he begins to pull 5-pound weights out of my vest. And he said, oops, I forgot that the little girl who weighed about 50 pounds went before you. We couldn't get her under the water. So naturally, we just filled her jacket full of weights so she would sink to the bottom. And I thought, ah, I can do this? You mean this is not me? So we pulled up to the next site, and I decided, you know, in this moment, okay, I actually think I'll give this one more shot. Like, I will try this. And I jump into the water, and I don't sink. I thought, yes, finally arrived. And they do one of those things, you know, they have these underwater cameras now, like, awesome, right? And they want to charge you $100 more dollars to take your picture underwater from a smile that you can't even have because you got a, right? So we're underwater, and they take the picture, and the instructor, after he takes the picture, he points, not just like, look at that, like, and I'm like, what? And he goes, and I'm like, and I turn around, and right behind me is a 7-foot-long shark right behind me. Last service, he was 6 foot, but that doesn't matter, all right? This big old shark right behind me, and for the next 30 minutes, he follows within 10 feet. And you'd swim along, and you'd turn around, and he's right there. And you'd swim a little more, and you'd turn around, he's still there. I'm going back and forth in my mind like, this is way better than Shark Week. Like, this is awesome. I'm going to die. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to die. You know, like, just that feeling. And when I crawled back into the boat, I'll never forget just sitting there thinking, what if I would have missed that? What if everybody else got to see the shark? They jumped in, they saw the shark, they got out, said, we saw a shark. I would have been like, no, you didn't. What if I would have missed that? Because of the weights that had previously held me down, what if I would have said no? You know, I think in life we experience way more of the greatness and goodness of God when we're willing to say yes. When we're willing to let go of the weights that previously held us down and say, God, I'm willing to go where you want to take me. And as we look to the year 2018, it is my prayer and it's our hope at the Ark Church that you would be willing to say yes to the things of God in your life so that you could experience something great. When I was 9, I said yes to Jesus for the very first time. Little did I know at the time the ramifications of that choice and that decision. Standing on the other side, I look and I see the greatness and goodness of my God who has brought me through the years of my development and my growing. At the age of 22, I saw the most pretty girl I've ever seen and I married her. I said yes as fast as I possibly could so she wouldn't run away. And it's been the greatest yes outside of saying yes to Jesus that I've ever committed to in my life. 6 months ago, I said yes to moving to this town called Conroe, Texas, to be a part of what God is doing at the Ark Church. Why? Because God always has something greater on the other side of the yes in your life. My wife, every year my wife and I, we pray as we get ready for the new year. It's kind of like setting a New Year's resolution. And we begin to pray for God to speak a word into our life, to impress a word on our heart that we feel will cover the next year. And as we've been praying, this is something you can do in your home, but we're just asking for one simple word that we can believe God for, that we can know will be true over our lives in the year. And in 2018, I feel the Lord just impressing upon my heart that it will be a year of increase. That as we say yes, we will experience an increase of God in our life. And all we have to do is be willing to say yes. You see, all the time we're looking for increase. Everywhere we go, every day we wake up, we're looking for increase. Anybody in the room hoping for an increase in their paycheck in 2018? You're shy. Yes, come on. Like, looking for an increase, right? You know, we got some students in the room, or maybe some really spiritual, devout, praying parents who are hoping for an increase in their students' grade in 2018, right? Tomorrow, thousands and thousands of people in America will go to the gym and sign up for a membership to change their life because they are looking for an increase in their weight loss efforts, right? Their increase in their physical stature and fitness. Maybe you're looking for an increase in your family this year, the size of your home or in your friendships or your relationships. Everywhere we go, we're looking for an increase. So my question as we stand at the front of a new year is this. What about an increase in your walk with God? What kind of increase is God going to bring in your life as you say yes? There's a passage in Isaiah chapter 9. And it's very fitting for this time of year because I believe as we come out of Christmas, the Isaiah the prophet was speaking of the Messiah Jesus who would come, the little baby in a manger that we just celebrated. And he tells us about something that's coming. And here's what it says in verse 6 and 7. You know it quite well. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase, there's that word, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. I love that passage because it indicates that Isaiah the prophet is speaking before Jesus ever steps on the scene. And he says, not only are we going to see this God step down into our world, he's going to bring something with him. He's bringing a gift, and that gift happens to be his increase. You see, God can't help himself. When he shows up, he has to do something. He has to act. And so when Jesus shows up in the form of a baby in a manger, he brings with him an increase that we will experience for all eternity. And what he's talking about here is he's saying the increase of his government, which simply means this, the increase of his reign and rule in our world is taking effect. That when Jesus came, he said there's a new king. That when Jesus came, he said, there's a new reign happening in town, and I'm here to show you what it is. He says there will be an increase of his peace. I think that's good news because I don't know what 2017 looked like for you in the different areas of your life, but maybe it wasn't as peace-filled as you had hoped. Well, the good news is this, that when Jesus showed up, he brought an increase of his peace that you can experience this year. I love this passage because it indicates that we are living in the increase of God, which means in 2018, you will see an increase of God. Why? What does the scripture say? It says there will be no end. If you translate that from the original language, here's what it means. No end. It means no end. It means that just because Jesus left, it doesn't stop. Just because he went to sit at the throne of the Father, it doesn't stop. It just means that just because it's 2,000 years later, it doesn't mean that it has somehow stopped because it's 2,000 years later. No, it says there will be no end, which means in 2019 and 2030, you will experience the increase of God in your life. Why? Because the Bible says there is no end, which means that long after you have been dead and buried, you will still be living in the increase of God for all eternity. Why? Because the Bible says there is no end. That is the kind of God that I want to serve. That's the kind of God that I want to follow, who can't help himself. He has this increase flowing out of him abundantly above anything we could ever possibly imagine. We're living in the increase of God. But what does it mean to live in the increase of God? I've titled today's message, Living in the Increase. It's my hope that in 2018, we would grasp on to everything that God has for us, that we would make the most of it. The other day, I was driving down the interstate, and I saw a billboard that said, Powerball Lottery, $384 million. And I said, yes, Lord, please, right? And as I looked at that, like, let's just pretend this morning that you won that $384 million. Besides putting over half of it in the offering plate, you're welcome, Pastor Allen. Besides doing that, my assumption would be that you would go out and buy a few new cars that you've had your eye on. Maybe you might buy a new house. Maybe you would go on a fancy vacation with your family. But what are you doing? You are living in the increase of your finances. So if that $384 million somehow find a way in your bank account, you'd be praising Jesus and you'd be swiping that card. Why? Because you're living in the increase. As you swipe that card, as you write that check, as you spend the cash, what are you doing? You're activating the increase that hit your bank account. It works the same way in our relationship with God. You see, God has given us an increase already. We don't have to buy a ticket and hope that it's the lucky one. You see, he's given us an increase already, and all we have to do is activate it. All we have to do is live in it. It's already there. So what does that look like? I believe that in 2018, living in the increase of God in your life starts with walking in obedience. That as you walk in obedience to the things that the Lord has given us, to the things that Pastor Allen shares on his heart on a Sunday, as we take that and we live it out, what begins to happen is we begin to see the increase of God that is already moving and working in the world we live in. It's like this. Back in the day, you used to have to reach your hand out and turn the dial on the radio. Can you believe that? Alexa, where did you go? You actually had to get it. I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, boy, you're 28. You don't even know what back in the day means. I'm saying that was back in the day for me, all right? Good for you. You're just old, okay? Just kidding. Where was I? Okay. You would reach out and you would turn the dial on the radio, and what would happen is it would cause the frequency as you reached the right station to play in your car. So you want country music? Bring it on. Turn it to the right station, right? If you're not liking it and you want to turn it to something else, all you have to do is adjust that dial. Living in the increase of God works the same way as a radio. Here's what happens. You see, the dial is the obedience of our life. As we live in obedience, we are adjusting the dial. We're tuning in to the things of God. And what begins to happen is that as we adjust the dial, we pick up on the right frequencies of God that bring the increase. So you're looking for something different in 2018. You want it to be different. You want it to look different. You want to see God more. You want to hear God more. You want to live in his ways more. You start adjusting that dial so that you can experience the increase of God in your life. Let me clarify something here. In no way am I suggesting that you do enough to earn God's favor. In no way am I suggesting that if you turn the dial just right and do just enough good things, that one day you'll wake up in heaven. See, that's not how it works. You see, a radio right now, there are frequencies in this room that we cannot see. You see, when I turn my radio on and turn the dial, it doesn't create the frequency that plays in my car. It reaches out and it grabs it. It's the same way with God. You see, as we're obedient, what I'm doing is I'm not creating the increase of God. Why? Because Isaiah chapter 9, thousands of years ago, Isaiah said that the increase of God would have no end. It would be for all eternity. And all you have to do is turn the dial so that you can reach out and say, the increase of God belongs to me in my life because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. All you have to do is reach out and adjust that dial. There's a man in the Bible, his name is Ananias. I want to look at his story this morning as a way of showing us he's working with Ananias on obedience. His hope is that Ananias will get the big picture and jump on and say yes to the things of God. Now, let's not get confused with Ananias in Acts chapter 8 is the man who was disobedient and he died. It didn't go so well for him. We're in Acts chapter 9. This is another guy named Ananias. I would have changed my name. This is another guy named Ananias. He was obedient. And because he was obedient, he overcame the circumstances and the obstacles that he thought were impossible to overcome. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 8, if you'll follow along. Now there was a disciple of Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying." In other words, God is giving Ananias a mission. He's given him a task, something to do. And it's to go to this man named Saul. This man named Saul, he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias, that's you, come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from so many people about this dude, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And I hear he has the authority from the chief priests to bind and arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name out before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on a road by which you came, he has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight, and then he rose and he was baptized. The story is of a man named Saul who's sitting alone in a dark room waiting for someone to show up, waiting for God to do something in his life. But you see, the problem is this. Saul has a reputation. His reputation precedes him. It goes out before him because he was known as the guy, if you're a Christian, you stay away from. He was out to get Christians. He would do whatever it took to put Christianity down, this thing that is beginning to rise and take flame. He found it his personal job to snuff it out. In fact, he would have Christians arrested. He would persecute them. He stood by and ordered Stephen's stoning because he was a Christian. This is the guy you don't want to go to. And God says, "Hey, Ananias, you see that guy over there? That's the one." And God sends Ananias on an adventure. But Ananias' response is the classic teenager. I work with teenagers. The classic teenage response. I see it all the time. You see it all the time. "But Dad, do I have to? I don't wanna," right? And Ananias is hearing from God, "Go to that guy named Saul." And Ananias is saying, "God, let's just get the facts straight. You know he's the one that, yep, I do. God, you know that if I go in there, he could have me arrested and I could spend the rest of my life in jail. Is that what you want?" "Yeah, I do." Ananias is sitting there saying, "God, but what happens if I fail? What's going to happen?" And God looks at Ananias, and in the way that only God can, he says, "I got something bigger that I'm working beneath the surface. I'm doing something, and here's what I'm doing. I'm inviting you to be a part of the thing that's on the other side of the mountain. The thing that you can't see behind the mountain, that's what I'm working on. And I know you can't see it, but I'm going to invite you to go. So you have a choice. Would you like to go?" And God extends that invitation to Ananias. It's kind of like this. In 2004, there was a college student at Harvard. His name was Joe. And his roommate was a great roommate. His roommate invited him. They had gotten in a little bit of trouble at the school. They had posted some pictures of people's faces and started bashing them on the internet. And they got in a little trouble with the school. So one guy decides to drop out. The other guy decides that his parents' wisdom will get the best of him. And he decided not to drop out of school. He decided to stay. Well, the guy who dropped out of school was saying, man, you just need to come over here, drop out with me, and we'll go start our own company. We'll make it just fine. We don't need Harvard. So Joe decided to stay into school, and little did he know at the time when he said no that the company that his friend Mark would go on to start would become the fourth largest and most valuable company in the world, fourth only to Google, Apple, and the other one, Microsoft. And we know it as a company worth $500 billion called Facebook. He had an opportunity to jump out of the boat, go against the grain, do things that looked a little bit off to him, and he said no. And I'm thinking, man, that was a painful decision to the tune of several $1 billion, no big deal. He had a choice to make. Would you go? Would you take the risk? And in some little fashion, this is what God is inviting Ananias to do. He's saying, I got something going on. Do you want to join me? Do you want to be a part of it? And all you have to do is say yes. The thing is that God doesn't demand us to say yes. He loves us so much, he gives us the choice that if in 2018 you want it to be the best year ever, he gives you the choice to say yes to his ways. And he'll allow that increase to begin to take place in your life. So Ananias made the decision that he would obey God. And he jumped out of the boat. He got out of his comfort zone and he went to do what God had asked him to do. And he walks into the room and he lays his hands on Saul and something like scales fall from Saul's eyes and he can supernaturally see again. God just did a miracle through Ananias. If he would have stayed in the boat, he would have missed something. He had a front row seat to something far greater than he could have ever imagined. He didn't know what was going to happen when he walked in that room. But here's the deal. He witnessed a miracle because of his obedience. But what he didn't know is that God is always a few steps ahead of us. So when we witness a miracle, the reality is we get to see things other people don't. Wow, God, this is pretty incredible. I never thought, wow, this is amazing. Wow, God, praise you. But what we don't realize at the time is God's still a few steps out, looking back, saying, and I need you to see that I see things that even you don't see. And this is what God is doing with Ananias. He's saying, there's something that's going to take place in Saul's life that you don't see yet. You haven't caught on yet. But because Ananias was obedient, he witnessed a miracle, and his obedience ignited a movement. He witnessed a miracle, but beneath the surface, he was actually striking a match that would light a movement far greater than his wildest imagination. You know, the problem is sometimes we get the miracle of God in our life and we think it's over. We think that God is done for the year, that he probably needs to go help some people over here, and I've got about all that my blessings that I can get this year. But the problem with that kind of thinking is that it assumes that we serve a God who is a one-and-done kind of God. As if God only has one trick up his sleeve. When the reality is this, when you start seeing the miracle of God in your life, it's not the end, it's the beginning. When you start seeing God do something in your life, you can rest assured that God is whispering to you, we're just getting started. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm not done with you yet. Which means when that healing comes in, that you've been praying for your body for years, you can hear the whisper of the Lord saying, you know what? That sickness is getting in the way of all the plans I have for your life. It means that when that provision comes in that you've been praying for, it's God saying, I have a job for us to do. You see, the miracle is not the end, it's just the beginning. In fact, Jesus' first miracle recorded in the Bible is him turning water into wine at the request of his mother. He's at a wedding. They run out of wine. Why is all the wine gone? I don't know, but Jesus is going to solve it. So Jesus gets in there and he turns the water into wine. And what I love about this is Jesus doesn't say, hey guys, look, I obviously know how to have a great party and walk out and say, see you later, I'll see you in heaven one day. Obviously, I can do miracles, so that makes me the Son of God, so I'll just see you later, I did my part, I'm moving on. See, that's the first recorded miracle we have. But what happens after that is that Jesus gets up from there, and it inaugurates his ministry. He says, I'm just getting started, and he goes out from there. And he says, you think that was nice? There's a lot more water where that came from. And he walks out into the world, and he heals the sick, and he raises the dead, and he casts out the demons on the oppressed, and he helps those who are burdened, and he gives words of life to encourage those who have fallen down. And he says, I'm just getting started. And just when the world thinks it's about over, he crawls up on a cross and dies for the sins of the world. And the world takes their stamp and places it on him and says, Jesus, you can't even finish what you started. And he says, guys, and God raises him from the dead, seats him at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he looks down and he says, hey guys, you missed something here. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning. I'm just getting warmed up. When you see the miracles of God begin to start taking place in 2018 in your life, you can know that God is just getting fired up, which means you have a job to do, which means there's a mission he's calling us to. One more step of obedience at a time. Why? Because God is a God of increase. In everything that he does, he's a God of increase. So what happened to Saul? Saul's sitting in this room, and God leans over to Ananias, and he says, Ananias, did you see what I just did? Did you see that? Those scales, they just, whoa, you've never seen anything like that. And God says to Ananias, you see what happens when you say yes. You see what happens when you get out of the boat. You see what happens when you're willing to be uncomfortable. You see what happens when you're willing to try something new. Because this guy named Saul would go on to have his name changed and be known as Paul. And Paul, you don't know it yet, Ananias, is going to ignite a movement because of your willingness to say yes. You see, Paul will go on to write 2/3 of the New Testament, of the number one selling book in all of history, that tells for generations to generations how they can know God. Ananias had no idea. But God says, watch this. And Paul was one of these guys who couldn't keep his mouth shut. He was so changed. He was one of the most radically transformed people you've ever met. And he loved Jesus so much that everywhere he went, he couldn't help but tell people about Jesus. He's the guy on the plane. Hey, I'm that guy that got my life changed by God. And he can't stop talking about Jesus. He stands in line at the grocery store and he can't help it but buy the single mother's groceries behind him because he feels such a compassion of what God has done in his life that he knows that it's not just about the miracle that occurred in his life, it's about the movement of God. And so he says yes and buys her groceries. He led billions to the Lord. His legacy stood the test of time. Why? Because he was willing to say yes to God. Why? Because he had an example named Ananias who said, God, I will go. So what does that look like for you in your life? How does God want to use you? The thing that I love about that the most is that God is speaking to us for 2018 to say, if you want to see my increase, all you have to do is be like Ananias. When I read the Bible, I'm encouraged, because I know that I can relate, that I can connect, and that actually the thing that God called Ananias to do is the same thing that he's calling of you and me in 2018, that we'd be a people who would be willing to say yes to God. And here's the reality. I know what you're thinking already. Yeah, Clayton, you don't know who I am. Yeah, Clayton, you don't know what I've done or where I've been or the way my life has shaped up. No, but God does. And the beautiful part about our God is because he's a God of increase, he says, I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've said, what you thought you should have done and didn't. God says, I'm inviting you like I invited Ananias out onto a journey with me. So all he's looking for is this. He's looking for people who would be willing to say yes to him in 2018, one step of obedience at a time. It's people like this who will say, yes, God, I will go. I know that I'm supposed to be here. I will go. Yes, God, I will say the things that you've asked me to say. Yes, God, I will forgive the family member who has wronged me and you've asked me to forgive. I will do that in 2018. Yes, God, I will give encouraging words to my coworkers in 2018 so that they can see just a picture of Jesus in their life. People who are willing to take one step at a time. You know, if you ever wanted to eat an elephant, they say there's a way you eat an elephant, and it's one bite at a time. That's what God is asking. He's saying, will you take one step of obedience at a time? I heard a pastor say one time, he said, obedience is your responsibility, but the outcome, that's God's. And because we serve a God of increase, all you have to do is say yes to that next thing that he's calling you to do. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. Ananias witnessed an incredible miracle, but little did he know he was igniting a movement of God that we're experiencing here today. The Ark Church today is here because people were willing to say yes to what God had for them. I'm going to invite you this morning to do something a little different. I'm going to invite you, if you are looking for an increase of God in your life for 2018, I'm going to invite you, nobody's looking around, no eyes, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. You're just raising your hand to say, I want to see an increase in this area of my life. I know God's been speaking. I know he wants to do something. I know he wants to use me. Thank you. Thank you for raising your hands. Yes. See, God looks down and he sees that and he says, I'm so proud of you for that. That's incredible. Thank you for saying yes. And God is going to bless that. Go ahead and put your hands down. I want to give one more invitation. Some of you in this room this morning, no matter how you got here, you're sitting in the place and you're wondering, how do I say yes to Jesus? Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe you need to come back to God for 2018 because you want a taste of that increase. I want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus for the very first time or to come back to God for 2018. If that's you, will you raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. We would love to pray for you this morning. Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you. God is so proud of you for that. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you're a God of increase. And we invite you to move and work in our lives. And we commit to being obedient, one step of obedience at a time. If you join me in saying this prayer this morning, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. And right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, and as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. God, we just ask that you would seal this by the power of your Spirit. 2018, a year of increase for every person in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.